Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast, the only podcast that's brought to you live and indirect from Providence, Rhode Island, via the capital city of Columbus, Ohio. I'm John Orlando. I'm here on episode 65, and I'm excited to be here. Very excited. I got a gentleman that's going to be joining me here that was on this podcast literally 2 episodes ago. That's right. DJ Joey Blaze is back. We're going to talk about WrestleMania. We're going to talk about all of our predictions. How many we got right. How many we got wrong. And we're going to talk a little bit about the WWE Hall of Fame, too. So you have to check out our opinions on that particular topic. But hey, man, before we get into that conversation with DJ Joey Blaze, I want to talk a little bit about this past weekend. April 11th, you know, you've heard the ads on here, you heard me talk about it, you heard that I had two people on. That is, if you will, the driving force behind it. I want to talk about Extra Space. Now, unfortunately, I did not get down there till late, but from what I understand, man, all of the programs for this particular comic book convention, for this particular event, were gone by 2 o'clock, and it started at noon, so to have that many people come through in such a short amount of time is really, really good, and I'm happy for Extra Space. Ken and Bob really worked very, very hard to get the word out and to get all those folks who were coming into town, getting them set up, and then having the word spread. I know there was a big, giant article in Columbus Alive, and you know, hats off to Ken and Bob. It was a great event. I was happy to be part of it. You know, if you don't know, if you're one of those people that happen to have one of those programs, you know that I was a sponsor. This podcast was a sponsor. And you know what? It was just cool to be down there and see some interesting comics, see some interesting art, and talk to some cool people. And so if you get a chance in July to go to Space, I don't know, I keep wanting to say regular Space, but that's not correct. But if you get a chance to go to Space, July 18th and 19th, definitely do. I mean, it's a great, great experience. It's a great opportunity just to kind of meet some interesting folks who have some wonderful ideas, some independent ideas. And again, that's what it's all about, folks. In my mind, that's where the greatest ideas come from, that independent spirit that all of us can appreciate. With that being said, I'm going to go to a quick break, and then when I come out of that break, we are going to hear an interesting and very philosophical conversation about WrestleMania, about the WWE Hall of Fame, and a lot of other tidbits about professional wrestling. My man DJ Joey Blaze is going to join me, so right after this break, stick around and hear what we have to say. Web hosting services for the PVD Cast provided by Bluehost. Check out Bluehost.com for more information. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new installment of the PVD Cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, and sitting down with me is now, by the way, the man that holds the official record for shortest turnaround on an appearance on this podcast, DJ Joey Blaze.
So I'm kind of like the Bushwhacker Luke
kind of
their podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, like quick turnaround, man. Episode 63, episode 65, boom.
I know it's a couple weeks late, but that's still kind of a current topic, Bushwhacker Luke, right?
Well, clearly it's not trending on Yahoo's topics. But
Tuesday in Texas kind of is. That's a whole other story.
But, yeah, you know. But you know what? Honestly, look, we promised people we'd come on here and talk about our predictions from a few weeks ago with WrestleMania.
And I couldn't pass it up on this beautiful day as I look out the sliding glass door of the Orlando palatial Orlando estate. And it's a beautiful day, so
yeah
definitely. I know I didn't do as well as I thought. I kind of like to,
well, you did better than I did. So
you got it written down. So
I have it written down. One thing we didn't talk about, by the way, we didn't talk about the tag team match, which I think at the time that we recorded that episode they had not set that up yet, which was going to be Cesaro and Kid versus the Usos versus a New Day versus the Luchadors. Or no, I'm sorry, the Matadors, not the Luchadors.
Yeah. What was crazy about that, even though once they booked it, they still don't think knew what they were doing, because they put that match on the pre-show also. I, you're going 4 hours. There's no need to have two matches on your pre-show.
That's something I'm going to... You know what? Let's just jump to it, because that's what I want to complain about. You had a 20-minute... promo with The Rock, Ronda Rousey, Triple H, and Stephanie that easily took up one of those particular matches you could have stuck on the show.
I agree, but I think that that was cool. I think it had a place, but maybe had more of a place on Raw.
Yeah.
Than it did Mania.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. Okay.
But maybe kind of maybe teased it on Mania, used a couple minutes, but, you know, Rock and Ronda, they had Furious 7 coming out. It's a large stage, why not?
But, yeah, I agree with you. Okay,
I would have definitely put those matches.
Yeah.
Because both matches I enjoyed.
Yeah, both of them were good. And when did the pre-show go to 2 hours for Mania? Because I don't ever remember it being 2 hours. Because I tuned in at 6, and it was like I was joining Live in Progress.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, welcome to the second hour. I'm like, what? I didn't know it started at 5.
Well, it was, I don't know, I enjoyed it too. We'll even go another whole step further into the pre-show. I really like Corey Graves as an announcer.
You know what? I'm indifferent. I wouldn't say that I dislike him.
It was just cool because it's just a whole different element. I like the pre-show announce team. Like I said, 2 hours. Come on. Condense it to an hour. Put one or not both of those matches
exactly,
on Mania.
Exactly.
But anyways, a tag match.
The tag match I thought was really good. One of the Usos, got injured, but they continued on with the match. I thought they threw in a little bit of unique stuff with Naomi getting involved, doing that dive. And then you had, the sharpshooter put on.
Anytime you get Naomi's booty on TV.
Right. So.
We'll keep that G-rated for you, PG-rated.
Whatever.
Okay.
We don't have
podcast,
to. Yeah. Hey, freedom of speech.
You got a little boy here in the room, so I don't know.
Well, yes, that's right. My producer, Archie, is here.
Four-legged friend.
Anyways, but Kid and Cesaro retained the titles. Were you surprised
by
that?
No. No. They got to go a certain way with those guys. They're both talented, and you don't have anything singles for them right now.
No.
Either one, because you're putting the secondary straps on proven guys to try and bring more to those secondary straps, which we can probably talk about here a little bit more, too. So, no, I'm not surprised. I would have kept it on them, too, because they need to build that tag team division more. Because, to be honest, it's even though with all the tag teams they have, it still stinks. The Ascension's horrible.
Yeah. I don't like the New Day. New Day. I think that whole...
They bombed on that game.
Yeah, they did.
I would have done more of a Nation of Domination.
I would have, too. I'm not a big fan of Matadores. I don't think that they bring anything to the table. I don't find them entertaining. The Usos, I think, are still good. But, I mean, they've been two-time or three-time tag team champion? Two-time, at least. You know, you can't keep putting the straps on them. And Tyson Kidd is over, you know, as is Cesaro with many of the fans, so...
Deservingly so.
Hey, oh, yeah, most definitely.
Deservingly so. I guess with tag teams, I'm a fan of the primetime players. I wish they would do something a little bit more with them. I'm sure they'll get more, but we'll see. Have you seen their shirt, by the way?
Their shirt is awesome.
The old primetime wrestling font.
That's really cool. So. And I'm glad the primetime players are back. I thought they were entertaining, so... much more entertaining than stupid Gator and Slater. That tag team was terrible.
Horrible.
Awful.
Horrible.
Okay, so then the next particular match on the pre-show was the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Go ahead.
You made two very bold predictions.
I'm bold.
Samoa Joe would show up, and he did not.
Nowhere to be seen.
Nowhere to be seen.
I'm trying to think outside the box.
No, that's all right. You picked Jack Swagger to win it.
Eliminated way early. I think he was maybe like the 8th person eliminated or something.
He was.
That was kind of depressing.
I picked Mizdow, which I think I should at least get some credit because he was the second to last person eliminated. Because Big Show won.
You get an A for effort.
I get an A for effort. Miz went out first, then Mizdow, and your winner, the Big Show.
Just to give him his WrestleMania moment. I kind of think that was kind of like a. Like a sympathy. Because he kept saying he's never won the Battle Royal.
Yeah.
Finally give him one because I don't think there's much left in that gas tank.
Oh, with the Big Show? Yeah, I think he's getting up there in years. And I think that probably...
And they're mishandling him, too, I think. That they would have kept him more of an attraction like they did Andre back in the day. But I just think they're just using their job at him every week to Roman Reigns and this, that, and the other. And I think, he's... Sorry if I might not be loud enough.
No, that's all right. That's all right. You know,
doesn't often occur with me.
Same here. Yeah, so, you know, I don't know what to say about Big Show winning that. You know, maybe they'll do something with it. You know, I don't know. Maybe
I love the concept. I loved Axel Mania at the beginning. That was hilarious.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I marked out for that just because he did the whole ripping off the shirt. Yeah. That was funny. But yeah, what it is with the.
Okay, and then we move into the Intercontinental Ladder Match.
Holy hell, that was a crazy match.
That was. We both picked Dean Ambrose to win.
We did.
Yeah, we both did. However, you stated that a dark horse that might win would be Stardust.
Yeah.
I followed suit by saying I had a dark horse, and that would be Daniel Bryan. And indeed, Daniel Bryan did win the Intercontinental title.
You get another half credit.
I get another half credit. All right. So there you go. Two halves make a whole. There we go. So that's one for me. Anyways, were you surprised that they put it on Bryan?
No. After reading more and more leading up to Mania, where they're wanting to, you know, they put the U.S., which we'll talk about here soon, mm-hmm. with Cena, and then put on Daniel Bryan just to try and make it more of an established belt. Because for a while, it's had that hot potato type of philosophy. Everybody seems like they've been an IC champ in the last 3 years.
Right.
And it's bounced around. So yeah. I think it brings some more legitimacy to it and bring it back to, you know, us old fellas. You know, we're used to watching it because it didn't bounce around a lot like that back in the day.
No, it didn't. And I think it would be refreshing if... that's one of the things I thought, you know, let's go back. I thought that's what was refreshing about Punk's title run.
Oh, yeah.
You know, 400 some odd days. Because, you know, we haven't seen that since probably, I don't know, Rob Van Dam in ECW. Because he had that television title for, like, what, 2 years? And then he dropped it. And, I mean, it was refreshing because... In an era where it seems that, yes, hot potato would be the best way to describe it. It goes from person to person to person.
Making no sense.
Right, making absolutely no sense.
Like, was it last year or the year before at Mania when Miz beat Wade Barrett, then Wade Barrett turned around and won it back on Raw?
Yeah, I think that was. I think that was 2 years ago, yeah.
It was a couple years ago. That was just idiotic, I think. And so, yeah, I'm glad they're doing more with the IC belt and...
Well, and then let's talk about the other secondary title, the U.S. title. That was the next match, I believe, that we predicted. John Cena versus Rusev. We both picked Cena, and we both were correct on that.
Hallelujah. At least we got one right.
I got to say, though, I thought that match was pretty good. I think that Cena has been able to get some really good matches out of Rusev because I can't say that about any other opponent with Rusev.
How obvious is it, though, that Rusev was trained by Rikishi?
I don't know if it was obvious. Why do you say that? That's weird. You caught me off guard.
It's literally a Russian version of Umaga.
Yeah, you know what? Now that you mention it, yeah.
There's just something about him that just it's, you know, I was an Umaga fan and that's who it reminds me a lot of. And I like where they're going with him here eventually. I think, you know, he can slowly climb up the ladder, maybe do some more. I just hope he doesn't take the whole route of what's the last Russian guy they had? They teamed him with Santino.
Oh, Victor. Vladimir Kozlov.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It was kind of funny, but he just became obscure. And he was challenging. He wrestled Shawn Michaels, I think, at a pay-per-view.
Yeah. Yeah, Kozlov was not good. He lost all kinds of steam, and I totally agree.
So I hope that doesn't happen to Rusev.
I don't think it will either. I don't think now. Let's talk about Cena now. In the last several weeks, he has decided to have an open challenge, and he's faced quite a few opponents. Dean Ambrose being one. Who was it that he faced on Raw most recently? I can't remember. Oh, Stardust.
Right.
You know. So what do you?
And they had a really good match.
Yeah, they had a really phenomenal match.
I just can't believe we're saying that about Cena having these really good matches, but I think the pressure's on. A side note, I don't know if it's something you want to talk about later. Did you watch the podcast with Jericho?
I did not.
I've been a mark for Cena for a while, and then watching that, and the stuff he does outside the ring, and then at least seeing that podcast, just the passion he has for the business and for that company, you know, he deserves what he's getting, I think. And I think, like I said, I really appreciate what he's trying to do for the U.S. title.
And you know what? I'll go out and say that I appreciate his work ethic. I appreciate what he does. I respect what he does. I'm not a fan. I'm just not. But, you know, I appreciate the fact that he, you know, takes time out of his own schedule to go grant those wishes to the sick kids, you know, in the Make-A-Wish Foundation. That he, you know, does all those extra things, you know. And quite frankly, I gotta be honest, I'm looking forward to him co-starring in the next Amy Schumer movie, Trainwreck. Because the small snippet I saw looks hilarious.
I haven't even seen any previews for
it. You haven't? No, oh, man. His comment is hilarious. The small snippet that I've seen, it's pretty damn good. He's got a great line.
Dig it.
So, but, you know, I think that, you know, Cena's the guy that if you want to kind of build that U.S. title to mean something, I think he's the right guy, right choice.
I agree. But who? So you want to do this, you want to build that with the IC title, you want to build that with the U.S. title. How long do they have it? Who knocks these guys off? Is it maybe somebody that comes up through NXT?
Oh, that's a great question. I guess that's the million-dollar question. Ha, 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 ha.
Ba-dum-bum.
Anyways, that is a great question. I don't know. I think that if I was going to book it, I would not bring somebody up from NXT. Because I really, truly feel that after the success that they had, that I don't know if too many people are coming up from NXT. I would not be surprised if there has been some rumors, some whispers, that they keep NXT as its own separate brand.
Hope they do.
I hope they do, too.
It's definitely a nice alternative, but like you said, they just brought Adrian Neville
up right.
and knocked off his first name.
Right, which is weird. Why would you do that?
They did that with Cesaro.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah, I forgot about that, because Vince didn't like the name Antonio. Apparently he doesn't like Italian people.
I'm guessing there's something
I
guess. He doesn't
like. I don't know. Yeah, but who would I pitch? Ah, man, I don't know who I would push to go against Cena. Or Daniel Bryan, for that matter.
I think they kind of gave away the Dean Ambrose a little bit too early. I think they could have built that into a nice feud.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
I definitely would not push Luke Harper. Because I did not like when he won the IC title the first time. Again, I mean, we could rant and rave about how that should be. He should be back in a tag team with Eric Rowan. But yeah, I don't know who you would push for those secondary titles. To be honest with you, I'd have to really think about that.
Because yeah, then you have to elevate who's going to be number one contenders from here on out. And
yeah, I mean that's a great question. Okay, well, let's move on with the results. Maybe we'll come up with somebody.
We'll see how that goes.
Next thing that we picked was the Divas tag match, which we both picked AJ and Paige to beat the Bellas, which is indeed what happened. And then 2 weeks later, AJ Lee retires.
That was weird.
What's your take on that?
I don't know.
What do you think? What do you think? Why do you think she's doing it?
I think Mr. Brooks,
yeah,
has said, you know, it's time that, you know, I'm tired that you're in the middle of all. I'm sorry, you're in the middle of this constantly. He made it crystal clear that he hates to see when she wrestles that his name gets chanted.
Right.
And, you know, and it's just, what does she have left to prove?
Right, exactly.
Really. I mean, she's done it all there in a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
She's financially set. Obviously, her husband's financially set.
Mm-hmm.
Be there for him and focus on that.
Yep.
Maybe it's time to start having some kids, too.
That's what I said. I said happy hubby syndrome. I think that's the truth behind that whole particular
And the Divas division needs to have another injection of something new. Not saying that she was great, but if we can start going away from, you know, some of the stuff and whatever they're going to do with NXT Divas or whatever, because those girls down there put on phenomenal matches.
Oh yeah,
and maybe it might be just something that they need too to her to kind of step back to elevate the division more. So
yeah, because let's be honest, a lot of the Divas are just eye candy. They're not good.
Well, they're not. Well, they're not allowed to show their talents.
Right. That's true. That's very true.
Alicia Fox is crazy talented, I think.
Really?
Yeah, she's got some crazy moves. Those long legs. She's good eye candy too. But I think she's. I don't think Naomi's that talented.
No.
Overall.
No. Except for she does do Iceman King Parsons chocolate drop, which.
I'm glad that we were able to put Iceman King Parsons on the podcast. That name, I just put a huge smile on my face right now. Always a mark for him.
All right, next thing that we picked was The Undertaker and Bray Wyatt. You were correct on this. You said Taker wins. I picked Bray Wyatt. I was actually shocked by the fact that they didn't put Bray Wyatt over. Well, I would put money on the table that Bray Wyatt would win, and that Taker would ride off into the sunset.
First of all, I'd laugh at you that you bet on professional wrestling.
right.
Second
correct.
Of all, I think I can see the business side of both. You know, on both. Taker's is retiring next year. It's obvious. They're going to be in Dallas. It's his home. It's home state.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay.
He's going to retire. Okay. He's going to go into the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Why let him win maybe a couple more on his way out? But who's going to wrestle next year? And it's already said as Etched in Stone, it's Sting. Which, I can't wait to talk about that match.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But, okay. But you know, so he's, I mean, to me, that's a done deal. And I see the side of that because Bray Wyatt is awesome. I enjoy him, but maybe he's just not ready to go up to that next level yet.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't see something. So he's still there. I don't think it hurt his character.
No. Do you think he could be one that they could push for one of those secondary titles? IC or US?
I would love to see him feud with Seth Rollins.
Oh, for the world title.
I think that would be a great feud.
Could be.
Or him and, I mean, or once Randy steps aside, because you know they're not going to put the belt back on him.
No.
Then it'll be if Roman steps up, whatever. That secondary feud, that'd be a sweet feud, I think, between Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt.
Mm.
That'd be pretty hard hitting too.
Yeah, it would be. It would be a slobber knocker, if you will.
But I don't ever see a secondary title right now for him. I see him still top tier, and I don't think it really affected him. That's my opinion.
Though. Okay. All right, then we move on to this is what we picked next in our episode, which was Sting versus Triple H. You said you wanted to talk about it. Although you did state that Shawn Michaels would get involved or somebody would get involved, and we had not only Shawn Michaels, but DX.
The whole Shadyside community, they let him out. They put down the shuffleboard sticks, and they let him come out. I still mark that a little bit. I mean, Nash and Hall could be 90 years old, and they'd still be cool to me.
But I couldn't believe all the bumps they were taking.
I thought Nash hurt himself.
I did,
it looked
too.
Like he tore another hamstring.
Yeah.
Which he's notorious for having those
type
of injuries. But they all took some decent. Even Hulk took a bump.
I know.
And I was like, shocked wow, that was. Too. But, you know, Shawn coming in. But why the NWO to help Sting? I mean, I guess there's nobody. Luger's in his position he's in.
Right.
The guys that would help Sting normally aren't.
But Flair, I really was thinking, okay, Shawn has come out. He did the super kick. Flair's coming. He's on his way down the ramp to interfere. No Flair. Because you would have thought that would be the next logical choice.
Or wouldn't have been cool to see Flair come out. Yes, I was thinking that too. Slides under the ring, double A, does his sidewalk slam.
Nice.
Spine buster. And set something up or something like that with the Horseman or Diamond Dallas Page.
Yeah,
WCW.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, if there was a Mr. WCW, it would be him.
Or Goldberg.
Yeah, Goldberg was not. No, that would not have happened.
He's out in his own little fantasy land right now. He doesn't want to do anything with the WWE.
No.
But I think that would have been.
That would have been sweet. That would have been sweet. To hear that music.
Or to literally see Scott Steiner come out and stab Hulk Hogan.
Okay, let's talk about that. That seemed very, very random. When I was just perusing the internet, and I saw that headline, I'm like, wait, what? So Scott Steiner apparently threatened Hulk Hogan's life. Through Hogan's wife. He told Hogan's wife on a flight that he was going to kill Hulk Hogan. Okay.
Probably, but it's probably in so many words that only he would understand. Because I think he speaks the same language as Sid Vicious sometimes. They have their own unique version of English. With their botched promos and whatnot, but I'm sure he probably said something, and he's probably said something along the lines, I'm gonna kill your female parts like I would kill your husband, or something like that.
Yeah,
he's the big bad booty daddy.
Yeah, probably.
All that stuff, and it was funny, I was following one of the, I'll give it a shout out, the Wrestling Classic on Instagram, and he's flooded today with some, or last night, earlier today, with some Scott Steiner stuff. Hilarious, when he come out with Badej and them, and he had the tape on his mouth that said censored.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then when he's walking down the ring with a tiger on a leash. The dude said...
I don't remember that. What pay-per-view is that?
I don't even... It just
oh,
posted
my God.
Some, I'm not exactly sure, but he's just certifiably nuts.
Well,
and I can see him saying something like that jokishly because he's hitting on her, not that he literally wants to kill Hulk Hogan.
Right, because...
I think it got blown out of proportion.
The things that went through my mind was, one, they don't have heat. You know, Hogan and Steiner, as far as I know, do not have real heat. And secondly, like, why was Scott Steiner flying to... Because it was on a flight to California, wasn't it? For Mania?
WrestleCon.
Oh, WrestleCon. Okay. All right. So that's what...
And that's what makes Mania so neat, because you never know it's going to be a surprise.
Right.
Because they threw WrestleCon in the same city the same weekend, and all those guys are there.
All right, there we go. So WrestleCon, I must have overlooked that.
But that would have been cool. Come out, Steiner to come out, or some one of those. Cause like Rick and Scott would have came out. That would have been awesome.
That would have been sweet.
That's going to be part of something else we want to cover here a little later on.
All right.
Anyway, but yeah, but I love all the memes that came through from Sting because all his face paint was off and he had the crazy hair.
Oh yeah,
the internet memes were crazy over that. It was hilarious. So it's just sad to see Sting and this where he's at right now.
Yeah, I was surprised because I thought at least give WCW this little nod of winning this match and then it's done, over. We don't have to hear about it anymore. And you know, instead we're still hearing about it.
I think that was Vince.
You think? Probably.
Because I think Trips probably would have wanted to put him over.
Probably. Then we go on to Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins, which you said Orton would win, and he did. I picked Seth Rollins. And I'll tell you what, that was a very good match.
Amazing match.
And the ending was phenomenal. I mean, that curb stomp into the RKO, that amazing finish for that match.
I just wonder where Randy would be if he wouldn't have had all these injuries over the years.
Right, yeah, right. And maybe we even talk about the attitude, too, because as a younger superstar, he was kind of hard to deal with.
Oh, that's what they say, although I love the RNN updates. That was...
Oh, that was great.
One of the funniest things on Raw back then.
That was very, very funny. All right, and then we go to our main event. You picked Roman Reigns, to win, and then Seth Rollins cashes in. Part of that took place.
So I got half credit
Half credit on that one. I just said flat out Roman Reigns wins.
We're both wrong.
We're both kind of wrong. You know, but I thought that match was really good.
Excellent. Suplex City, bitch.
Yeah, and the way that it was booked, phenomenal. And then I think that the way that they used Lesnar the following night on Raw was phenomenal. And I like the storyline of what they're doing with him. Is that he's suspended. He went batshit crazy, destroying everything in his path.
Everything.
And I thought that was great. Because, let's be honest, the fans are kind of behind him now. They're kind of...
I love Lesnar's progress, even though he works at limited dates from where he first came back and looked like a cruiserweight. Not really, but he was so tiny.
Yeah.
And beat up Cena to where he's at now.
Yeah.
And just Cena. And I was so glad to see that he resigned. I'm real anxious to see where that goes. And I'm thinking maybe Seth Rollins and Lesnar at SummerSlam.
Yeah, I think so too. But I think that it was very smart what they did. In fact, I even said on the last mini episode of this podcast that at first I was a little bit annoyed with Lesnar never being there, but they worked it really, really well because you still had Heyman there to remind you, oh, by the way, he's still the champ. Oh, by the way, he's still the baddest man on the planet.
That needs to be a topic one day.
Okay.
Top managers.
Oh, most definitely.
I've always been a Heenan mark, but Heyman, the way he's evolved from Paulie Dangerously to what he's doing now, and my girlfriend hates Paul Heyman.
So does mine.
Until I got her to watch some of the DVD,
which
is actually it's free right now on the WWE Network, to watch some of that and to see his progression and what he's done and where he started. That's going to be a good topic one day. I talk about top five
managers. Most definitely.
But no, that's definitely... He's helped out. But it's to the point now where I think Lesnar could almost carry himself if he needed to.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Without a mouthpiece. But overall, what'd you think of WrestleMania? One of the better ones? Mediocre? Obviously not lousy. I think, you know, you would agree with me.
I would say above mediocre. I think it exceeded its expectations with me.
It did with me as well.
Just because the matches and some stuff just seemed lackluster. And like I said, the way they put stuff in the pre-show, I was intertwined. I hate to say, I stopped at Taker Wyatt to watch The Walking Dead.
No, did you?
It was a decision made in the household. Got to keep Mama happy. So we switched over, watched The Walking Dead. Then I caught up on Mania the next night, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I really did.
It exceeded my expectations. I think it was one of the better WrestleManias, especially of recent years. And, you know, I'll be interested to see if they can, you know, continue that momentum up through to SummerSlam. Because, you know, let's be honest, there's a couple throwaway pay-per-views.
Yeah, I never understood why they got rid of King of the Ring.
No, I know, and yeah, I same here. And instead, we have what, Extreme Rules, and then what's the next one after that? I don't remember.
I don't know,
but it's yeah, it's
wrestlers play patty cakes. I don't know; they're all goofy. They have goofy names. I wish, or one of the things I wish they had incorporated when they took in WCW is used some of their. Like the Great American Bash.
Which they did use for a couple of years and then got rid
under
of
the SmackDown brand.
Yeah, yeah, under the SmackDown.
Lame.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I think they could go back and use some of that. And
except for Hogwild. Don't bring that one back.
That was pretty bad.
Live from Sturgis.
Bash at the Beach was pretty bad to me. I mean, when you see Vader and Sid Vicious beating up Davey Boy Smith and Sting at the beach, that was kind of goofy.
That was pretty bad.
But no, like the main ones, like yeah. The Starrcade.
Right.
Like, we did something with Starrcade, but then you have Survivor Series and Royal Rumble, so there's a weird area in between there. But, you know, I think if they did something with either Great American Bash or with King of the Ring, just because there's such a wall now to me.
Yeah, and that, you know, I had to explain this to my girlfriend about that, because she was like, why are they going to have another pay-per-view after WrestleMania before SummerSlam? Because I was explaining to her that SummerSlam's the next big pay-per-view, and she goes, wait, there's one April 20th. Yeah, well, that one, yeah, but it's just, you know.
Oh, and they have Money in the Bank in Columbus.
Oh, that's right. That's the one. That's the one. That's the one that follows Extreme Rules. And I was trying to explain to her about it, and I said, you know, just that, you know, back in the day, you still had your four big WWE pay-per-views, but then you had the In Your House, which were, if I remember correctly, Saturday nights, and they were only like 2 hours.
Beware of Dog.
Beware of Dog. I remember that one.
Mind Games.
Canadian Stampede. Was that one of them?
Yeah. I think? There's some crazy names. But they still had King of the Ring back then.
Yeah, they still had King of the Ring. Right. You know, and actually, I mean, if I remember correctly, wasn't it WCW that started doing monthly pay-per-views? I think it was them that started the trend.
Well, because they did Clash of Champions. I don't think it was necessarily pay-per-view, but they had the Clash of Champions that kind of bridged the gap.
No, you're right, but I still think that they still were the ones that start doing, like, monthly pay-per-views after they had kind of ended the Clash of Champions.
Go ahead and tweet us.
Yeah, tweet me.
I'm sure we could look it up, but we're lazy.
We could. I have the iPad right here. Yeah. Maybe I will look it up. I don't know.
We don't like our prep team. We're going to give them hell for that one.
Well, you know, what can I say?
So did I score better than on my Mania predictions?
Let's see. So you had one... 2, 3, 4 correct, if we're not counting halves. I only had 1, 2 correct.
Wow.
So.
Hey, they kept us guessing.
Yeah, they did, and that's good. Thing. You know what? That's good, because then, you know, keeps you guessing, keeps you entertained, et cetera, et cetera. All right, before we move on, let's talk about a couple of real quick bullet points of some wrestling news. They announced Tough Enough is coming back. What's your opinion on that? It's going to be on the USA Network. Are you excited for it?
I'm excited. I was on the WWE Network because they have the old episodes on there.
Yeah.
And I had to text the hot commodity when I saw him on there. Was like, hi, I'm Matt from Columbus. But it was cool to see him on there doing that and all his douchebag glory, like he liked to say about it. And it was neat. You know, one of the things I went back, though, and I'm watching it, there was a lot of people that came from that class that was on TV.
Here's what I said. Last mini episode. I don't know if it's necessary now to have Tough Enough if you already have NXT. And secondly, that was always my gripe with Tough Enough. It didn't matter if you won because they signed everybody anyways. Who cares? You know, I mean, you know what I mean? So it was kind of a pointless competition show.
It's just a reality television to make people happy. And I'm sure there's going to be some ringers on the show.
Oh, sure.
But it's another way for them to try and use this term again to bridge the gap between non-wrestling fans to try and suck them in. Because the last time they had Tough Enough, even though I force-feed my girlfriend to watch wrestling, it brought her into work. She got really into that, just like she's into Total Divas.
Right. the rumor, though, is that they may replace the host. It's not going to be Stone Cold Steve Austin. That might be Y2J.
Well, he said that he didn't have time for it. And it's not because he has something against WWE. It's because how they're filming the Broken Skull Ranch.
But do you think Jericho's a good replacement?
Why not? He's the third hardest working former professional wrestler out there now behind The Rock and then Stone Cold, because those guys are both working like crazy.
Yeah.
Trust me, I'm not dying. But Jericho's on everything. He's on Comedy Central. He's on this. He's on that. Why not? He can do it. All
right.
I used to like that little game show he was doing.
Oh, what was the name of that?
Oh, that was cool.
I don't remember.
Concept. Yeah.
Chris Jericho. What was that? I'm looking that up right now as we talk.
But no, he does. I think he's deserving.
Sure.
Louise. Of being in a position like that.
A couple of things, though, that what made Tough Enough for me was Taz.
Yeah, yeah, and him bringing his, like, his 2 cents worth.
Intimidating yelling. Now, which would be cool is if they tied that, if they have built this relationship back with the Dudleys, I would love to see Bubba Ray as part of it.
That would be pretty tight.
Because they have their training academy. It probably won't happen, but that would be a nice little mix. Go ahead.
Downfall was the name of the game show hosted by Chris Jericho.
I would have never remembered
that. I would never remember that either. So that was it. It was, yeah. Yes. So, anyways, yeah, that would be cool if they had the Dudleys. I don't know if they, you know, if they
or at least Bubba Ray, same type of philosophy with as Taz, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was the thing that always made it for you had the Taz, you had the Hardcore Holly, you had Bill DeMott. Like
yes, Bill DeMott. Good old Bill. You know, funny
but
thing.
They promoted Albert into that spot there now, so maybe he'll have that part on the show. But
funny you mentioned Bob Holly because, as I mentioned, my fave from the last episode was that I've been watching a lot of YouTube stuff on the big TV in there in the living room.
In the theater at the Palatial Orlando Estate.
That's right, in my own private theater. I've been watching a lot of Smoky Mountain. Because there's a guy that loads a lot of Smoky Mountain on YouTube, and they're really good quality.
See, that's the tough thing, to find good quality.
Right.
It was tough to find good quality when it was on TV.
Right, exactly. But I got to see the debut of Hollywood Bob Holly. Wow. Pretty much Sparky Plug. Same thing. Giant brown mullet and the same tights. You know, I think they were just straight black and pink. Big giant black robe. I'm like, wow. Bob Holly.
Hollywood Bob Holly.
That's right. Interesting, huh?
Yeah. I have to check that one out.
Yeah. So,
that'll be, like I said, whichever way they go with whoever's going to be part of the show, I think is, but no, I'm happy to see it back. Why not?
All right. They're talking about the Royal Rumble, being in Orlando, Florida, but they may be changing the date because it's supposed to be the last Sunday in January and they're concerned about the NFL conference games. Do you think that the NFL is actually competition for the WWE?
Well, I think there no matter if you buy the network for $9.99, you can watch it that Sunday night, or you can watch it Monday night, Tuesday night.
That's true.
It's always streaming, so I don't think that would really matter at all.
All right. Last little bit of news, which I gotta be honest, this seems weird. So there's a new suit that has been filed in court, featuring former WWE talent. I guess you can say, I'll use that term. Luther Reigns, Ryan Sakota, and Russ McCullough. They claim that they received injuries while performing in WWE rings. I think these guys were all kind of like those, you know, there's all that era of like velocity and heat where they would bring guys up, indie guys up, and give them a shot or give them a look, you know. Anyways, but they claim that they sustained some injuries during bouts. And they also were somewhat upset about the lack of concern from the medical staff of the WWE.
Well, how long ago? That was years ago.
Yeah.
Luther Reigns had a nice little run there, if I'm not mistaken, where he was partnered with Kurt Angle. And
yes.
They did some stuff with that. I mean,
yep.
I think, why cry over spilt milk anymore?
Why go back? I don't know.
I haven't read anything about that. Actually, that's the first time I've just bringing this one up. I didn't know that those were all involved.
I think it just broke yesterday in the news, and I'm like, so because they already have the Billy Jack Haynes lawsuit, you know, from which I find to be preposterous because it's 20 years ago, dude, or no more. I mean, 20 some odd years ago. Then now you're saying that you had all this, but now these guys are more recent, as you know, 2003, 2004, but still. I don't know, I'm with you on this one.
It's still bitterness.
Yeah, you know, you should know. You know what you're getting yourself into. Just like NFL players. I like Dan Marino, but guess what, man? Sorry that you got concussions, but that's what happens.
That's what you get when you sign up for it.
Yeah, exactly.
So. You can't expect to say, okay, I'm signing this contract, I'm going to work for you, and you want me to take 5 chair shots? To think that's not going to have some sort of effect on you down the road.
Right, yeah. Right. All right, enough said on that one.
We're lawsuit happy.
Well, yeah, we'll just have to see what happens there. Apparently, the WWE's lawyers
now the only
frivolous, and it's not, you know.
The one, if it was true, though, what CM Punk was talking about is when he had that situation with his back, and they wanted to give him
Z-packs. Yeah.
Which, anyways, so on Instagram, I follow Justin Roberts.
Yes.
I
former WWE ring announcer for those at home that don't know, yeah.
I'm sure you were an inspiration to his... a job path. Anyways, I follow him, and the Dr. Amon was in one with him. And it was funny to read all the comments underneath that.
Uh-huh.
There must have been 25 jokes about Z-Packs.
Nice!
And you know it has to get back to him, but I think if that type of stuff really happened, that's what they should look into.
Well, that's what they're claiming. These three guys are claiming. I don't remember which one, but they claim that they were was knocked unconscious by somebody, and I don't remember, they did mention. And then when they went backstage and they continued to vomit and whatnot, they were told, just don't go to sleep for a couple of days, because if you go to sleep, you might die. That's what the medical staff told them. And they know, you know, hey, we need to get you to a hospital. Nothing along those lines. That's what these three guys are claiming, is that it wasn't so much the injuries, but it was that, yes, they got injured, but then the lack of total care for them is what they're finding disturbing.
I just think there's more. That's 10 years ago. This is 2 years ago.
Right, yeah. And we know more science-wise. Yeah, most definitely. All right.
Anyway.
So, okay, let's talk about... There was a challenge made about who should go into the Hall of Fame.
Yes, that's right.
That's not in there right now.
I didn't really do my homework, but you did your homework.
I did my homework, all right?
And the prep team.
I'm gonna just say this. I'm going to stay away from the two that you mentioned, because I think it's a foregone conclusion. The next year, Ray the Crippler Stevens is going in. And that if indeed, since we're going to be in Dallas, Texas, it will probably be the Fabulous Freebirds going in. I agree 100% that the Freebirds need to go in.
I just want to see Michael Hayes' suit for that.
Oh, yeah, I do. I do, too. That'll be awesome.
That'll make the Hall of Fame. That'll be the best part about it. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
When you induct the Freebirds, do you induct which ones? Is Jimmy Jam included in that?
No. I think you go the original. It's got to be Gordy, Roberts, and Hayes.
So no, you wouldn't induct Backstreet either?
No, I would not. Sorry.
That'd be bad for business.
That would be bad for business.
No, I agree with you. You go with the three OGs with that one.
Uh-huh, exactly. So I stayed away from those two, because I think they're a foregone conclusion that they're going in. So... okay, so I will go back to, I'll get on my soapbox, and I will go back to the first individual that I have talked about for years that should go in is Bruiser Brody.
In that area.
I mean, geography aside, I think this was the guy that, as a little kid, I bought hook, line, and sinker that he would kill someone. Like, he had the persona of being the wild, crazy, hardcore guy. Before that, everyone was really... popular, and I remember as a little kid going, oh my god, I think I might see a homicide right here on television. I'm not sure.
I lit up like a Christmas tree. Have you watched the Sheik's documentary yet?
I have not, no.
Maybe we can talk about that after you watch it, which is phenomenal. They show a little snippet of Bruiser Brody against the Sheik. Could you imagine that? Wow. Iron Sheik versus Bruiser Brody. Like, they showed a little snippet, and I just lit up like a Christmas tree because of Bruiser and stuff like that. But no, I totally agree. I think that it's a travesty that Abby's there and he's not.
Right, yeah, and that's the other thing. Yeah, that's where I'm going with is that, you know, that you've already put in one of these guys that were the, quote, hardcore icons back in that day. And, let's be honest, too, you know, Bruiser Brody was a unique character. You know, I've read his biography, you know, he was a stand-up guy. He had certain principles and he did business the right way, and if he felt you weren't doing business the right way, yes, he could be hard to deal with, you know. But nonetheless, Bruiser Brody should go in. End of story. Okay, here's my other one, because I double-checked to make sure that I wasn't 100% sure that he was in, because as I mentioned there to you off-air, there is 95 members of the Hall of Fame. But, okay, I think the most glaring one that is not in the Hall of Fame yet that should be Owen Hart.
Oh, I totally agree.
You know, obviously the tragedy and probably some of the bad blood that's felt between the family and the WWE has probably hindered that. But Owen Hart, hands down, should be in.
One of the things I took from the pre-show from the Hall of Fame was Brett commenting on Savage going in.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, outside of my brother, Macho Man is the one I miss the most.
Yeah.
And I just kind of took that like, almost like a name drop, but just the way he looked at it and stuff like that, that, you know, he's putting them on the same level.
Mm-hmm.
And every bit they were.
Oh, yeah.
And, I think they're past that now as a family, and I think I see that happening.
Yeah, I do too. I think of all these choices I'm going to throw out today, I think that that's probably happening within the next couple of years. Yes, but I mean it's a travesty that it hasn't happened yet.
Correct.
So, okay, I'm going to go. Another person that should go in is Missy Hyatt. I think if you're looking at a diva, I think that you're looking at Missy Hyatt. Was very good at playing whatever role she was given. You know, first being the uppity, snotty, rich girl that was supposedly the great-great-grandchild of the Hyatt Hotel family, all right? Then when she got to WCW and they kind of made her more of a face, she was the ditzy, bubbly blonde that, you know, you could probably relate to, and then even the skanky girl you would never bring home to mom in ECW. You know,
I think that was kind of reality there, from what I hear.
Well, that's what, yeah. Well, but you know, but, hey, what can I say? So I think that she should go in.
Did you watch Macho's most recent DVD?
I have not.
That's also on the network. I had numerous hours Mania weekend. I was so fired up about everything, so I finally got to watch that. Do you know she was originally going to be where Miss Elizabeth was?
Well, I do, because one of the biggest things that I would love to see is that I remember as a kid going to a live WWE event, and then you got the WWE program, which highlighted like various different people in there, one of which was Missy Hyatt, because she was going to do the interview segment Missy's Manor, which was like a Piper's Pit that never aired. Because the story behind it was that they taped 6 or 7 episodes of it. But then she was upset and not happy with the travel schedule, because at the time she was married to Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert. They were not seeing each other, so she just quit. So that's one thing that's never been, I guess that's probably in the vault somewhere in Stamford. So I'm not surprised by that. I'm actually not.
That would have been interesting to see how that would have shaped wrestling history in itself.
Oh, yeah.
But it was cool to see Landy kind of said, hey, he started doing his little savage impersonation, talking, I think we're going to bring my wife in and my girl, and you know, the rest is history. But they did the whole, and I didn't realize that that was one of the things they looked at. And if she would have had, she could have had a hell of a run, I think.
If
that would have went forward. But speaking of that, I don't know what your list is. I don't want to interrupt your list.
Right.
But being in Texas next year, and you talk about somebody like her, what about Eddie Gilbert? Is Eddie Gilbert Hall of Fame worthy?
You know what? I wonder about that, because here's the thing. I was a mark for Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert.
If Eddie Gilbert didn't pass away, he'd been that Terry Funk type of character.
Most definitely. Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely, I can see that. I don't know, because, you know, I would like to... See, I'm jaded because I liked him a lot, but does his accomplishments in the sport warrant him going in? I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know.
Did Coco Beware's accomplishments in this sport?
Well, but no, wait a minute. Time out. Coco Beware was... Wait a minute. Time out. Coco Beware was... That was the face that you had to beat if you were a heel to get to the Intercontinental title. Come on,
I'll
man.
I'll give you that.
Okay.
But everybody beat him.
But right. Well, okay, speaking along the lines of Coco Beware, this is another individual that I think should go in, SD Special Delivery Jones.
I would agree with that.
Because, again, in an era where you had preliminary talent, to me, and I looked at it, again, from my memory as a kid, when I would watch WWF Superstars, there were certain prelims that you were like, there's no way in hell this guy's beating Hercules Hernandez. But it was believable that people like SD Jones, like Iron Mike Sharp, like Lanny Poffo, they might win. There was a little more credibility to them. So there's another... I know that's a weird pick.
Well, I credit the WWF at that time with helping me out with my geography lesson, because I didn't know anything about Antigua. So
No, I'm afraid. I'm even ashamed to admit this. I did not know too much about geography, but we had like an old set of encyclopedias at the house. So on Saturdays when I would watch wrestling, if I didn't know where a place was, I was looking it up, like Antigua and the West Indies. I looked that one up.
Britannica's?
World Book. World Book. Big. So, yeah. Yeah. From probably like 78. 1978, nice. So they were old and musty smelling. All right.
Like most women I go out with.
Oh, but a bunch. I'm hard pressed to put a tag team in. I really am, because I was thinking about it long and hard, and I think that as much as the Rock and Roll Express had a major impact, especially with the teenage fans, I don't see them ever going into the WWE. I don't know why. I think that Vince would look at them as being, they're too small, they're too insignificant. I think they should go in, but I don't know. I don't see them going in. I think the British Bulldogs have a better shot at going in than the Rock and Roll Express.
Maybe we should talk about Heat.
Well, right. All right.
Wow.
Dynamite Kid.
Wow.
Not probably tops on the Christmas card list for the McMahon family.
That'd be a heck of a handshake if Triple H decided to try and smooth that one out.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you can't, I mean, it's almost like I felt like, and I'm not knocking the Bushwhackers, because they had their part, and Sheep Herders were awesome.
They were.
But that is, with tag teams, there's glaring holes. There's, like you said, no British Bulldogs, no Rock and Roll Express, no Midnight Express.
No.
No
Heart Foundation, right?
Right, as a tag team.
Yeah, tag team.
You know. So there's glaring holes with this. I always wonder what their process is with tag teams. There's people I would put in before,
right?
But it's interesting to see where all that goes too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm for the Rock and Roll Express. I don't know if it'll happen anytime within the next few years. I think the British Bulldogs might be a little bit of a better shot of going in. Can we talk about the controversial one? I mean, I know he doesn't exist in the history of the WWE. For what horrible things that he did. But does Chris Benoit's in-ring performances warrant him going or no?
Is that even a question?
I mean, that's really a question.
No, I think that, yeah, if he would have been a first ballot if all that stuff didn't happen.
Okay, all right.
But
because it happens,
yeah.
Fuck you, you don't get it.
It's that's a sports the, entertainment.
It's sports entertainment.
Not,
yeah, okay.
It's not like it's a regular sport, so they factor all that stuff in because they got to be politically correct there.
Well, I understand that.
They would get a lot of heat if they put somebody like him in their Hall of Fame.
Right, sure, right. But I'm just throwing out the plate.
Deserving.
In terms of, just playing devil's advocate.
Right.
You know, I agree with you. I hope there's probably a special place in hell for him, hopefully.
I'm sure that's where he's at.
So.
Now, with your list there, do you have a celebrity?
I did not. I could not come up with a celebrity. Maybe Rhonda Shear.
Oh my god. USA up all night. She was something back then too, buddy.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know. I would say celebrity wise, I think would be really cool would be Bob Barker.
Yeah, sure. Bob Barker would be a good one.
He did a couple good things. I think that would be something interesting.
Yeah.
But I don't know with my were you done with your list?
I'm done. That's it. That's all I had.
I threw a couple out at you on Twitter.
Okay.
One was Rick Martel.
Yeah, Rick Martel. Hey man, he was a WWF tag team champion multiple times.
Was he? He was never an IC champ, was he?
No, he was not. No,
he came close as being the model. But yeah, AWA world champion.
Yep.
TV champ numerous times in WCW.
Correct.
Had some really good matches with that too, because he fought Benoit, he fought Booker T.
And he was not young either. I mean, he came. I remember when he came.
He didn't have any knees left at that point.
Yeah, I was like Rick Martel. I couldn't believe it. Yeah.
So you know, I think that's. I mean, you put Zbyszko in, which that speech. Oh my god.
I did not catch much of the speech, but was it a 20 minute? Did he stall for 20 minutes? First of all,
well, he just kept repeating himself because they said he left his speech in a taxi cab.
Oh.
And he's like. We made a joke about how somebody that you could never shut up on TV, all of a sudden, you shut him up. So.
Nice.
But if he goes in, you know, I think...
He didn't walk around the podium for 20 minutes.
Bockwinkle's in. He's in. If you're doing AWA, guys, you got to put Rick Martel in.
Yeah, yeah. And, hey, let's be honest. At one time, he had an AWA action figure and a WWE LJN action figure.
Yeah.
So, hey man, how many other people had that going for?
Yeah,
going
with some Remcos.
Remcos, that's right, man.
Speaking of that too, AWA guys, tag team, are the Killer Bees in?
They are not. No. They are not.
You know, I think I would put them in.
The Fabulous Ones, that's where I thought you were going, because you mentioned Remco and then the AWA, and I'm like, Steve Kern and Stan Lane, the Fabulous Ones? Sweet.
No, I wouldn't go that route.
Okay. But maybe, if they do go in, by the way, they have to wear their weird little Speedo things, like that great famous picture from the 80s.
Oh, I hope not. I never want to see that again.
But as a tag team, I think, you know, there's another one I would throw out there, because we were just talking about that a short amount ago. What about Brian Pillman?
Oh, yeah, Brian Pillman. Yeah, most definitely. That's a good one.
I think that should be somebody along the lines, maybe after Owen, maybe Pillman. And then they kind of have that international flavor every year.
Like this year was Fujinami. Fujinami,
why not throw in Jushin Thunder Liger?
Nice. Because he's still working, unfortunately. Or fortunately. I don't know. See, I got to be honest with you. With Jushin Thunder Liger, like a year ago, when Ring of Honor did the team up with New Japan, they broadcast on their TV show a match with Liger, and I can't remember who his tag partner was, against, I believe it was Jido and Jado. And Liger still has it, but he's still also a little bit, you know, he's getting up there in age. But from what I understand, though...
He has to be in his 50s.
Yeah.
Late 40s.
From what I understand, though, he is tearing it up now, though, in New Japan. Like, they've had him on the last couple of shows, and apparently he is doing phenomenal work. And I'm like, really? Okay.
Is it really him underneath the mask?
That's what I'm wondering. I don't know. Because it's gotten rave reviews. The last couple of matches that he's had on their bigger shows, they've said good. But, yeah, Jushin Thunder Liger was the man.
I think that's one of, you know, even if he's still, but I think that's somebody that's going to be, when it's time, because, you know, they do the international flavor. Then what about somebody like, that sticks out to me, and he really, his career was ECW, but why not Sabu?
That's a good question. That's a very good question. He would be a good one to put in.
He never got a fair shake or good run up north or down south, but when it was in ECW,
he was the man. He was the
face, you know, him and Taz, and I think that might be...
So that's and the Sheik is already in. The Sheik is already in, so why not put in his nephew, Sabu?
So to me, that's a couple, and there's not a lot of glaring. Once Savage was the most glaring,
right. And now I think it's Owen Hart, but I mean, yeah. Once you get those, were you gonna mention the Steiners?
I think the Steiners as a tag team should go in. That's another one.
Despite the threats to kill Hulk Hogan.
Exactly. I think once they get that ironed out, I think that's a no-brainer too.
Yeah.
My God. Yeah. All the titles they've had.
Right. And they had a huge and successful run in the WWE.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, you know, that's the next tier of stuff. It'll be interesting to see which way the Hall of Fame goes now over these next few years. You got most of the 80s guys in there.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't seen many managers lately either.
Well, you know what? Who would be someone that's not in there, I wonder? Let me refresh our memories as to who's
Heenan's
in there.
Heenan's
in there.
Hart's there.
All right. Yes.
I think Fuji's there.
Mr. Fuji is.
All
right, so, you know, Paul Bearer's in there. Who else? Who else did we forget that's not?
No James E. Cornette.
No, but let's be honest. he's going to be a tough one to get in there.
Exactly.
Okay, so what about Divas? Because here we go. We talked, you know, a little bit here off air about Miss Elizabeth. Well, you know, that's kind of a little bit of a...
Seems like it might be a touchy issue.
It might be a little bit of a touchy issue, given, you know, some of the history that has gone on, you know, personally and professionally with her. What about Stacy Keibler? Because she wasn't very, very popular, and she kind of crossed over a little bit.
Yeah, she did well in WCW, she did well in WWE, and she's gone on to do other things.
Yeah.
More recently, banging George Clooney. But no,
yes.
She's...
You got me. I almost did a spit take.
Yeah, I'm sure she did a few of those, too, but...
You're on fire right now, man. Look at that.
Anyway, so, yeah, I think, you know, she's kind of reached out. Threw around the name Tori Wilson.
I don't know. Tori Wilson, I don't know about. I don't...
And then what about...
Sable.
Threw out Sable.
Is she too big of a pain in the ass, though?
And does Brock want that to happen?
Right, exactly. Yeah, you got that right. Correct. I kind of forgot about that, to be honest with you, that they were married.
And then what about Victoria?
Well, that's a good one. I mean, that is a really good one, because, I mean, let's be honest, she was... top dog for a while.
And her and Trish were doing things that women weren't doing.
Right.
Like, they had a hardcore match on Raw that was phenomenal.
Right.
Not just for women, but just it was a great match.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are some possibilities. It was almost like the well's starting to run dry with that, like it is with managers.
Right, sure, yeah. Because, I mean, almost everybody's in there. I mean, now you're getting to the bottom where you're going, well, should Burt Prentice go in? Well, no, because he was not a very good manager, and he doesn't have any, you know, outside of Memphis, who knows Burt Prentice?
What about back to Divas? What about Ivory?
Oh, that would be a good one. That could be a good one. I mean, you know.
Because she kind of sets him for the foundation when she was with Glow.
Right. Correct.
And I think that might, because she came over and she did a lot with the WWE.
She did. And in fact, you know, as a side note, you know, it was 5-6 years ago that OCW was blessed to have Ivory come and be part of a show. And I got the opportunity to actually ride with her back to the airport because she was flying out of Columbus. So Adam Michaels and myself drove her back to the airport.
She didn't feel threatened at all by that?
She did not. She did not, actually. She did not feel threatened at all. It's because there was also another gentleman in the car, a friend of ours, that came to watch the show. No, she was cool. She was very, very nice. She shared a lot of great stories, including one about her training with Glow, in that she goes, you know, she said it was me and a couple other girls that really took it seriously. Because Mondo Guerrero was the trainer.
Correct.
And there was a lot of girls that were just there because they were pretty and they couldn't do shit. Like, you know, they couldn't take a bump worth anything. She goes, I was determined to make it, you know, and really do something.
I had a thing for Misty Blue Sims.
Misty Blue Sims. Wow. I wonder whatever happened to her. I remember Misty Blue Sims. For those that don't know, she was an old NWA wrestler.
She was in Glow too, wasn't she, or no?
I don't know. Let's see. Misty Blue Sims. I'm actually looking that up right now on Wikipedia. She's 53 years old, by the way.
And how different did Alundra Blaze look?
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. And did I not see full sleeve tattoos?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She actually, Misty Blue Sims, competed in the AWA.
That's
right,
yeah.
Yeah, but she was actually a graduate of Killer Kowalski. And then she was in the NWA, or you could say Crockett Promotions, and then ended up going to World Championship Wrestling for a little bit. Although I don't remember her in World Championship Wrestling.
I think that might have been in the early part when they had...
Yeah, they said, I looked it up, in 91, so it was like the early Jim Herd era, if you will.
You bring up Kowalski, there's another controversial figure, China.
Yeah, you know, and
she deserves to be there.
Yeah, she does.
But what she's done outside of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Or inside of her, however you want to say it.
Yeah, well, right, you know, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm.
And there's a lot of red tape there.
Yes, there is.
A lot of large things walking her way.
Okay. Ba-dum-bum-tsh.
But I don't, I mean, those are just some that I think, you know. But just like I said, the well just seems to be running dry, and I hope that they muddle through this in a good way, because it's going to be interesting to see how the Hall of Fame shapes up.
Sure, but you know what, and again, though, there's a lot of great individuals that will be put in the next few years that maybe, you know, like for example, you know, Ray the Crippler Stevens, I don't know if he's a top-tier name, but he certainly deserves to go in. You know, I was never a fan of his, I'll admit to that. You know, but I think there's still plenty and plenty of people who deserve to go in, who will be going in.
Definitely tweet the podcast at
PVDMVP. Thank you.
With who you guys think should go in, or, you know, because we definitely, you know, opinions out there to see. Plus, we like to make sure that it's not just Mr. Orlando and myself talking to each other. We want to know who's out there and enjoying the podcast. But definitely send us some tweets. Who do you think's missing?
Exactly. Where can people get in touch with you? On the social media. Come on.
At DJ Joey Blaze.
All right.
On Twitter and on Instagram.
All right. There you go.
Where I cross over from wrestling on Mondays. We do Macho Mondays.
That's right.
We do Flair Fridays.
Uh-huh.
And I'm all about my sneakers most of the other time. So
there you go.
On Instagram. So it's a lot of fun.
But he's into sneakers on every day that ends in Y.
You could say that.
You can
That's
say
safe
that.
To say.
That's safe to say. All right, well, there you go. Joe, thanks for coming back on, man. And, you know, just a few episodes ago, you were on here. you're on here again, giving your 2 cents worth on the WWE and WrestleMania and the Hall of Fame.
And that I might had more predictions correct than you did.
So we're going to end the podcast this way. We're going to end it where you're going to say you had more correct than me.
I mean, it's right there in number 2 pencil. You know, we could literally take a Scantron test.
Yeah. next time we will. Scantron. I can get some Scantrons.
I'll bring a bubblegum wrapper and have it all over. Life hacks. Anyways.
Nice. All right, with that, hey, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and then when we come out of the break, I'm going to wrap up this episode. DJ Joey Blaze, thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me.
All right, and I'll be back here shortly.
As an avid listener of the PVD cast, you know that I, John Orlando, am a huge comic book fan. And I'm here to tell you about a graphic novel that's coming out in 2015 that I know you're going to want to get your hands on. It's called Staunch Ambition, and it's a futuristic science fiction fantasy adventure that I know you're going to want to read. So just head over to staunchambition.com. That's right, staunchambition.com to read up about all the information about that graphic novel. Because I guarantee that when it comes out, you'll want to grab a copy, and it'll be unlike anything you've ever read before. Trust me, check out staunchambition.com. You will not regret it.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. A whole lot of wrestling opinion coming at you there. DJ Joey Blaze and myself reviewing our predictions for WrestleMania. Obviously, Mr. Blaze did a lot better than I did, but, you know, that's how the ball bounces, if you will. But I would like to revisit one thing that was said in that particular conversation. I was put on the spot there as to what would I do with those secondary titles, the U.S. title or the Intercontinental title in the WWE. And I got to be honest, Joe had me on that one. But I've thought about it, and this is what I would do. I would push Damian Sandow, a.k.a. Mizdow, for those particular belts. Although, I would change his gimmick back to the intellectual, maybe even I call him the intellectual idol, Damian Sandow, but I would keep him as a face. Like, I would kind of push a little bit of a comedy angle about how, you know, brains and intelligence, you know, trumps all, if you will. And what I would do is I would put one of those belts on Luke Harper as a transitional champion, because I think then you could play this whole brawn versus brains idea. And maybe for a month or so, you know, Harper just kicks the daylights out of Sandow until eventually he uses his brains and outwits him. And then, you know, push him off into a particular feud with somebody else. And there you go. I would keep Sandow strong, if you will, and let him run with the title. I think the guy has, obviously, enough momentum right now. Miz is not going to be around because he's going to be busy doing, you know, I guess a bunch of appearances for the Marine. So, hey, you know, I think that would be the best way to go. But, again, those are my 2 cents worth, and, you know, that's what I would like to see happen. Now, who knows what will happen. But with that being said, you know, let's talk about one other thing here. Starting here in the next day or so, as I mentioned on my very short edition, the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs starting, and I am so ecstatic. And since we're talking about predictions, you know, I've tweeted out some of my predictions for the first round. So, and you can follow me on Twitter at PVDMVP, and that's where you can read about those particular predictions, both for the East and the West. But I'm going to go on this episode of the podcast right here, right now, and I'm going to give you the finals, who I believe are going to be in the finals. Hey, folks, I think the Eastern Conference comes down to the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think they are deep enough, they're strong enough, that they are going to outlast every other team out in the East, and they're going to advance to the finals. And coming out of the West, the Nashville Predators. So I think we're going to have an all-expansion Stanley Cup final this year. I think the Predators are well coached by Peter Laviolette, who I've been a big fan of. Well, except for that, those few years he coached the Flyers. I was not a fan of him then. But nonetheless, I think he's a very good coach. I also think they have a lot of young talent mixed with some very good veteran talent in Nashville. And, you know, they got an awesome goaltender in Pekka Rinne. Again, though, you never know. You never know. That's what I love about the Stanley Cup playoffs. You never know what's going to happen. Of course, injuries play into a factor as well. But anyways, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's about time for us. Oh, yeah. There's the music. to talk about Orlando Fave. Okay, my fave for this episode is a very short little video that you can find on YouTube or on BuzzFeed. I actually tweeted it out, so you can just go to, once again, at PVDMVP and find it. But I found it to be hilarious. So it's a snippet from Divorce Court that aired, I think, a week or so ago, in which the premise of Divorce Court, for those of you who have no idea, you know, it's supposedly two people getting divorced, and they're going to air their grievances live on television. Anyways, that was some sarcasm there. So there was a couple on there in which the gentleman claimed that his wife slept with all members of the Wu-Tang Clan. And the back and forth is hilarious. Just some of the comments made, absolutely funny. Especially, I mean, you know, especially because of how ridiculous the whole particular premise of that show is. But yeah, and in the Wu-Tang Clan, I mean, Wu-Tang, Wu-Tang. I mean, you know, it's comedy gold, folks. So definitely check it out. It's only like a couple minutes long. But again, you can check that out over on my Twitter page, at PVDMVP, which, by the way, that's also my Instagram handle, if you will. And, of course, if you want to get in touch with me and you don't want to limit yourself to 140 characters, shoot me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you all for listening. I'm going to close things up, and I will talk at each and every one of you later. Thanks for listening, folks.